will start. We're under kind of a tight timeline here, so I'm Steve Olson. I came here to Oldham basically to visit Kirsten, and she took me on a hike to Hart Lake and wore me out, so I've barely been able to move for the last couple days. So I thought, well, I'm sitting around here contemplating, I might as well make some good use of the time, so put together a little discussion. Just a little bit of background, my history, where I got to where I am. I grew up as a traditional Lutheran in a rural area, where in the front of our church was this big picture of Jesus holding the Lamb with the staff, which, you know, I don't know who painted it, but it's been a lot of churches anyway. And so that was kind of an image of Jesus. Then I, since I graduated from high school, I served a four-year apprenticeship as an electrician in a huge aluminum rolling mill. Then I went to the university and I got an engineering degree. After that, I looked at what I had learned so far, and I realized that it was totally lopsided kind of an education and training. And I, at that time, when I was at the university, lived in a Christian community where we did a lot of questioning. And this was during the time of the Vietnam War, where you questioned everything. So anyway, I decided that I would try to balance out this unequal education, and so I applied to Luther Seminary, and I said, you know, I don't think I'm right to be a pastor, but I'd like to study theology. And they said, well, we can take a few of you. So on that basis, I started at the seminary, and as I, as you go to the seminary, you kind of, they help you decide what it is that you need to take and so forth. One of the first things is the language requirements, and everyone had to take a couple of years. It had to be proficient in Greek. Of course, I had no Greek, so I had to take remedial Greek and second year Greek. And then you had to have a theological language. The theological languages at Luther were Latin, Hebrew, German, and guess what the fourth one was?
Latin, Hebrew, German, Greek.
And Greek. Greek was required for everybody. The fourth one was Norwegian.
No. That's so funny.
Norwegian. But I tried to convince them that really there's another language that a whole lot of us speak and understand, mm-hmm. and that's the language of technology. And that, really, if we're going to try to communicate the gospel to people, we should communicate it in the language they understand. And using I think for most people, it's Greek and Hebrew are important to study what's in the scriptures, so you get a good understanding. But to communicate to other people, a language that they understand and are proficient in is a good way to convey ideas. So, of course, I didn't get very far, as you can expect. But as soon as I started at the seminary, I realized that the language that, and the concepts and the terms and so forth that were used were really different than mainstream people talk about and understand. And I had a job as an engineer while I was at the seminary, and it was just down the hill from the seminary at Portec Manufacturing that manufactured rock crushers. So I would go down there and I'd work for 3-4 hours in the plant as an engineer designing rock crushers. And then I'd go up the hill to the seminary and there'd be some professor talking about something in Latin or Hebrew or whatever, and I think, man, there's a big disconnect here between this whole thing. So anyway, that's kind of how it is. We still use biblical language that's 2,000 to 4,000 years old, and we talk about examples of shepherds that are out on top of a hill someplace, and they've got a sheep or lamb, and a staff, and they're trying to fend off the wolves. And that's about as foreign a concept to us as a whole lot of other things are. But it's still part of the language that we attempt to use to convey the theology of the scriptures. What I'm going to do is I've developed a couple examples of ways to use technical language to convey theological or biblical concepts. And so I'm just going to go through those. It may be confusing to some of you who may not use the languages of technology, so pardon that. But for those of you who do understand, I'm hoping that you're familiar with the language of technology. I hopefully it will be helpful to you.
Can you move that forward?
I got this thing jammed in here.
Can I help you?
You're gonna move it forward, I think, too.
Well, the problem is then the light doesn't shine.
So.
I can't
do that.
Well, maybe
you
want
to
move
up
closer.
Yeah.
Move to the front of the class.
Yes, Yasha, or you betcha.
Yeah.
Well,
don't
I have to like sit on the.
I'm not afraid.
Come
can't
on
see
in.
I can't see that small print. I'm sorry.
That's well, the small print is actually for as much for me as anybody else.
Okay.
So, but
okay.
First of all. I'm going to explain here, this is a simple vector system in 3Ds, and we talk about the Trinity. And so all of us say the Nicene Creed, we believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. What does that really mean? How do we really figure that out? Well, if you are familiar with the three-dimensional vector system, then it's pretty easy. So I'll kind of go through this here briefly. And I have a vector here, which is the Father, goes to infinite distance. One for Jesus Christ, the Son crucified, who walked on earth, and the Holy Spirit in the third dimension. So, how do we talk about God? If we use this stick here as our summation vector, then this summation vector explains God. So God is a summation of a vector, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this for me is really been a helpful model, because a person's, at least for me, my God changes from day to day. For example, if you happen to be a person who's a speaking in tongues type person, then your God is mostly down here in this sector. If you're a practicing Jew, your God is mostly here with some of the spirit, the wind, the fire, so forth, it's someplace here. If you're a Christian who whose main god is Christ, and you have most of your theology of Christ, you're someplace in here. If your understanding is more Christ and God the Father, then it's mostly here. If you're the Holy Spirit is also a significant part of your belief system, then you're someplace out here. So, depending upon where you're at in life and what experiences you have, what you read, what becomes important to you, that vector moves around.
So the resulting vector, if the three forces are equal, is which direction?
Up this way.
Straight.
So if you have if your concept of the Trinity is where all three of these are equal and have equal influence on you, then you're out here. Like this.
But the vector isn't us. The vector is where our belief system of
God.
It's who
God is. The location is where you're at that time.
Good question.
Now, we can go a step further, and since I didn't prepare for this ahead of time, and I haven't studied this mathematics for 50 years, I'm a little vague going through these equations. But the summation, if this is the equations here for the summation vector or resultant vector, God is equal to the summation of Y plus the summation of JC or Jesus plus the summation of the Holy Spirit, which is fairly easy to figure that out. But you can also, in this mathematical system, you can add four and five other dimensions. So you can start thinking about things in five, six dimensions. Or you can take another matrix that has a completely different set of variables and take that equation and compare it to this equation and see the relationship. For example, if you wanted to take and say, what's Holden? I can maybe use this board for that. And you could say that Holden is faculty. I don't spell very well. It's buildings. It's guests. Okay, well, that's Holden. Or you could say that's three dimensions, but you can start adding on and saying, well, that's a significant person. It's
the environment.
The environment. It's the people that a significant person that you talk to. And you sum that up and say, this whole thing is my Holden experience. And you can then take an equation and say a summation equation of that, to say holiness equals all these here, and its relationship then to the previous equation which I had down there, you can sum those two together and get a relationship between Holden and God and mathematically look at that. You can then go further and use differential equations to look at this thing. What's the influence of one factor upon the other, upon the whole? And I was at the seminary, I actually used some of these, and I was, 45 years ago, I was pretty proficient in the mathematics, and fortunately I had two professors that appreciated it. One was a chemical engineer, Kent Knudsen, who later became the president of the Lutheran Church, died fairly young. The other one was Paul Sponheim in systematic theology. And he was an expert in Alfred North Whitehead's philosophy. And he used differential equations in his philosophy to look at the impact of one variable upon a system. So it's things you can do if you understand the math. It really can become significant to you.
And you usually don't take differential equations until you've had the whole, you know, year of calculus.
Well, yeah, it's pretty far up the chain.
So you have to have be able to differentiate, integrate.
Yeah. And this stuff, what I use is numerical analysis, which is way beyond differential equations. And it's used, my discipline is industrial engineering, and you use the simultaneous linear equations and numerical analysis for developing simulation models that you use for different systems and factories and so forth. Okay, we'll go on to the next one. I see we have an expert just arrived here.
Now we're talking.
You like that one?
I like pie.
That one speaks to you. Ohm's Law, right? Okay, this is a different.
Oh, wait a minute. Those are not terms that we usually identify with those things.
I got some new variables here. This is basic Ohm's Law of electricity. E equals IR, P equals IE, or this is gear, this is pi.
Chris Schultz from Penny? You need to be here. They're doing Ohm's Law in theology. If you're not here, I don't know. You need to get here now.
This is the discussion of sin, grace, and the Holy Spirit. Trying to talk about this. All right?
Chris is on his way.
Wait, so we're gonna use some new terms here for E, or volt, which is roughly voltage. We're going to say that's the Holy Spirit. Resistance is typically in ohms, but we're going to talk about resistance in terms of neglect, of sin, of our resistance to the grace and the power of God. And we're going to talk about I, or current flow, which is normally in amps. We're going to talk about the flow of grace God's gifts to us. P is the power, hope, love, and illustrated in watts. And lumens is simply a measurement of light. And there's about 10, in an incandescent bulb, there's about 10 lumens per watt. Okay, so that's kind of our basic information. Here we have a real simple circuit. Typically in our schematics, we have a wire here, which we call L1, and a wire here we call L2. And then we have a wire going through here to the filament of a bulb out the other side. We have down here, this is the voltage across that particular circuit. So if we go through the equations and we solve for current, which is equal to E over R, then I'll use that equation here to help explain some things about how we accept and participate in the grace of God.
So those are dim bulbs, I can see.
It's the first one's dim, but not all of them. Okay, well, start the first one.
Some dim bulbs.
Okay, here we got our voltage across here. Our Holy Spirit impact is 5 watts, pretty dull. Or 5 volts, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, but this particular person or so forth has 1,000 ohms of resistance. In other words, a lot of resistance to the Holy Spirit, a lot of resistance to I, which is the flow of grace. So that means that this, we're going to have only 0.5 milliamps, I guess it is, of power going through here. So just it probably wouldn't even light it up. So, and this, we'll look at this bulb. If you remember 2 days ago, we sang the song,
this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, this is a new version of that.
Very good light.
So we have very little, we've got 0.025 watts, 0.25 lumens, you wouldn't even see the bulb light up. So this is a person or us, say any of us, situation where we're not really receptive at all to the gifts of God. Okay, item two, in technical areas, we like to have problem solving. That's the way we explain things to ourselves. So in the next situation, now all of a sudden we got Holy Spirit has really come alive. Maybe some person has talked with this person. They've had some experience, or the Holy Spirit has come into their life in some way that it's made a big difference. They're still highly resistant to that, but there's a lot more, there's more current flow. There's one whole amp. And so we take that and we multiply the power going through. We now have 1,000 watts, which is about the heaters in your, if you have one of these portable heaters, 1,000 watts is kind of a smaller one. Give you an idea how much.
Toasty bathroom.
Hair dryer.
Hair dryer? Small wet
my
heater.
Hair dryer.
But it's 10,000 lumens. So 1,000 watts would really light up this light bulb. It would be bulb equivalent probably to all bulbs in here.
Mm-hmm.
Close to that anyway. Okay, number three. Now we still have the same Holy Spirit voltage here. But now this particular person's resistance, they've seen the light. The resistance has gone way down. And the number of amps was way up to 100 amps, which is about the maximum capacity of most houses. So there's a lot of power going through it. There's a lot of light. And that light can be manifest in terms of blessings, of ministry, of purpose, of all the good things that come from a person being enabled by the grace of God. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So now, one more.
Have you developed an ohmmeter to measure the resistance of people?
Well, you have to do that yourself, Chris. If you take the resistance down in your own rheostat, we're all rheostat.
Okay.
You need to measure ourselves.
Perfect our antennas.
Adjust that rheostat.
Okay.
I got another one here.
This is for Charlie.
This I thought there might be a plumber, so I
all right.
Oh, here we go.
I included this one, and I didn't write the formulas. But I'll kind of go through the symbolism anyway. This is a water tower. Right here it says Holden Water Works on it. And that tower can be 10 foot tall or can be 100 foot tall. If it's 100 feet tall, the head pressure or equivalent to voltage is going to be much greater. So if we look at this water tower and we see coming into the top here is a constant flow. Unlimited flow of water. God keeps this water full. And what God's intention is that there's a big pipe that goes through here and that this water of life comes out to bless us all in a full, big, see the pipe is maybe 10 foot in diameter. But we sometimes have problems allowing this water to flow. So we have restrictions. We have maybe what we call a variable orifice here, or a valve, which we close in. Sometimes we turn off almost completely. Or we may not even have, this pipe here might represent it. A little dinky pipe that's all rusted away and barely any water comes out of the bottom of that. Or a small one or just barely drips. So it's God's intention for us is that we have a full flow like this with no restrictions at all. And in a model like plumbing, you can go into laminar flow and turbulent flow. There's a whole lot of other things that you can add into this model to make it more elaborate. So that's kind of the summary.
So is the picture like, if we're closer to God, the 100 feet is so much more powerful than the 10 feet? Is that what you're...
What it more refers to is that the Holy Spirit is more of a factor in this particular one.
Determining the head pressure.
The Holy Spirit is the head pressure, and so it's the force that helps us to receive God's grace. So that's kind of all I got. I think it's, you know, to me it's always been helpful to realize that this means more to me than a lot of biblical examples do.
And probably for you, because of your background and your engineering background, it relates much, much better.
Right.
And that's, you know, for some people, because they are more on the spiritual side, some of the other things come to
that. Hey, Chris, can we get a CAD drawing of the other one?
What was
that? Can we get a CAD drawing of the other one that he's got going? The electrical one? We could put that online.
The fourth one is pretty good too. Chris missed the
first one.
This is a pretty complicated schematic.
That's interesting. I mean, the whole mathematical tie in is really, that's pretty interesting. I've never heard of that.
This
tie in like that before. That's the most interesting.
This one right here, and the mathematics to be able to look at relationships between systems and to actually solve it, which I can't do anymore because it's been 50 years since I did the math. That's the most helpful to me.
Well, I like the, because I hadn't really heard this even though I grew up with him until yesterday. This is not like dinner time conversation. But I think I like this one a lot because if you think about the 13, is it 13 core values of holding?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have, if each of those is a different one, you can sort of see how, well, I like to think of these things as, why are we not communicating very well? And it could be because one person is, they connect more with the hilarity. Mm-hmm. Another person connects more with the environmental part.
We're kind of stuck on one.
Right.
Instead of a summation.
Right, so I don't connect very well, for example, with talk of Jesus Christ. I connect more with Holy Spirit kind of discussions. And so if someone else is focusing more on, if Jesus Christ is more in their spirituality, then you can sort of come to some difficulties or learn from each other, perhaps.
And we can also show our Lutheran prejudice here by saying that this is the Virgin Mary. Small victory.
Mm-hmm. What I,
but important to some people. So.
Mm-hmm. What I like about this, and this is coming from a calculus dropout, but is that when you think of talking about theological things or spiritual things in mathematical terms, you think there's one answer and it's going to be very given to you, but what I like about this is that there are variables involved, and it's not just one equation. I mean, there may be one equation for all of us, but it's not the same. It looks different for every person, and that was something I was not expecting.
Depending on the variable you put in, mm-hmm.
And that's the full simulation, the numerical analysis of mathematics. It's part of simulation, which is the full blown part of this. Mathematics is that you design, you develop all of these equations and matrices to simulate a whole factory, or to simulate all the whole village, let's say. But it's all full of variables, and it's all the relationships that move in and out, and all, you know, all the time and try to simulate the probability of each thing occurring.
Thank you.
Yeah.